Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
It's a wonderful thing to have hope in Him. You put hope in religion, you'll be disappointed. Put hope and trust in denominationalism, you'll be let down. You put your hope and trust in Him, amen, and He will lead you and guide you into all truth, amen, and He'll help you. And I can stand with my hand raised that we've been in doctrine that was in error over times past, and we've walked in different doctrines and different thoughts. And sometimes we could be sitting in the proper doctrine and being taught the proper doctrine, but we are indoctrinated by self into false doctrine or into error. You've heard me use the terminology of ideology. When a man studies the way he thinks it is, when he studies the way he thinks God is, as you say, let go and let God. We could read the right thing. When we read this word, we could say the letter of this word or the letter of the law. When we read this, it's proper, it's right, it's straight. But how do you read it? You know, sometimes you could read it in error. You know what's phenomenal about people is that they could read something and they could take and read something and they take it as an absolute. The only thing that you could read and take as an absolute is the Word of God, and you got to read it by the Spirit to even do that. And because it is an absolute to what it's being written to, but then yet you could find another place in the Scriptures that's an absolute also, and it would almost contradict what you had just read. So when you even read the Word, the only way that you could say that you have perceived the absolute of it is by differentiating the spirit that it was being spoke to. But you know, again, people that study, they put faith in the study. They put faith in what they perceive. They put faith in what they've learned. But you know, brothers and sisters, with such a vast information that is out there, people will read something and they'll take that as the absolute because somebody took time to put it on paper. Somebody took time to write these things down. They would say, well, I read this, and in their mind and in their thoughts, they're convinced, but we need to be careful what we read and what we take that somebody says. But using as an example, you can get the president of our country to go on live television, and he can give a speech for 30 minutes. And then you're going to get the Democratic Party is going to have a little hour and a half program after he spoke for 30 minutes to tell you what he said and tell you what he really meant. And then you'll have another on the Republican side, and they're going to tell you what he said. And they're going to be two different total views. One is going to be a viewpoint to strengthen their man, and the other one is going to be a viewpoint to tear the man down. So you're going to have two different ways of thought. Now the thing is if I would only subject myself to the Republican viewpoint, I would be very biased or slanted in what I'm perceiving of what is happening. And if I took only the Democratic view, I would be very biased in that. Now the thing is there's people that are against things out here in the denominational teachings in the church world, and the only reason they're against them because somebody told them that it wasn't right. Now there is something I could say that I would appreciate, that when you have seen something that is proven, something that has proved itself and right, and you got a confidence or a trust in a minister, a man of God, and he says, this isn't right, then you think, well, I owe it to myself to go find out why. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a balance in that. Because some people are out there and they're eating of all kinds of things, but they don't know how to differentiate it or discern it, don't have enough God and strength. There are little people that are involved in the church or in the work of the Lord that need to be sheltered from those things because they haven't figured out what they can eat and what they can't eat. So you try to guard over them in such a way that you say, well, look, you don't need to be partaking or eating of this whatsoever at all. But then yet, on the other hand, if a man is going to teach and stand before people, he needs to know what he's teaching. He needs to know why he believes the certain things that he believes. You would possibly perceive this morning that I'm speaking of doctrines and denominationalism or whatever we might say. But you know, brothers and sisters, even we that would say that we're in the right doctrine, if we really truly have come to a revelation and convinced that this doctrine that you've heard me ministering here has proved itself, you've studied it out, you've searched the Scriptures, you've looked in the Word, and it's been revealed to you by the Spirit of God, that you know, I find some things that are hard to understand, hard to comprehend, and hard to walk in, but I've challenged them and I've looked at them. I've tried to go the other way. You know, I've tried to say, this is just some kind of tradition that was handed down from a man in Georgia, or this was some kind of thing, this way they think it is, but I think it's this way. And you've gone out and found the chastening of the Lord on your life and found that this be so. I'm still speaking to you this morning because there's many times, brothers and sisters, that we will go and we'll read things and we'll take definitions of things to understand things. And what makes us think that we could put our strength on even the definitions of the things that we do? Many of us say, well, you know, bless God, I believe in the King James Bible, and I'm not going to read any other Bible. And they'll chide with you about the Bible, and chide with you, man, it's only the King James, this and that. But then they've got footnotes all through that King James Bible, and they're saying, well, this means this, and this means that. And they take, and all of that takes and twists their understanding on a particular passage of Scriptures, or on what things mean. And there's people that dispute over things because they think a word would mean something, or another one would think it meant something else. And then when you get into dimensional differentiation, which we say so oftentimes just to bring an expression of thought to you, that when a man is saying, well, look, this is the way I believe it. And one could say, I believe in pre-tribulation rapture, and this is where I stand, and he could take you through the Bible and show it to you. And another one, see, using the same term we say in using rapture, but we could say a change or catching up. And the thing is I most definitely believe in pre-tribulation catching up or rapture. If anybody ask you, I believe in pre-tribulation rapture. But then yet, on the other hand, brothers and sisters, you know, we know that there's a catching up, we say post, after tribulation. And the thing is that when you say, do you believe that the elect are going to be in the tribulation? I say, most definitely. I believe the elect of God will be in the tribulation. But then yet, you can ask me and I say, most definitely, I believe that the elect is going to be caught out with the Lord Jesus Christ. I just said I believe in pre-tribulation rapture, caught out before the tribulation. There's so many ways to define this and understand it. Do I think that I've already walked in tribulation and persecutions, or we could say of Jacob's troubles? You see, if you're asking a natural Jew about that, it's going to fall in a chronological order where they all go through it at the very same time, and there's going to be 7 years of real turmoil on what we would call this earth. You see, but then yet when you're in the spirit, there is these things that people walk through. And the things that maybe I'm walking through today, maybe Brother Pike walked through those things 40 years ago. And maybe you haven't seen those things. And maybe you'll be walking through them tomorrow. Maybe you've already walked through those things. You see, and you find that in the spirit, there are things that are taking place. When you look at the order of God, you'll find that there is an order of a global perspective, and you'll find a thing running in a chronological order, a timely perspective. And you'll find that when you look at it in that way of thought, you'll find that you'll see things run in a certain way. We'll find that even the natural things of this world will be running and showing a parallel of the things that are running in the invisible realm or the spirit realm. I could say these things to maybe tear down an overconfidence of thinking that you know something when you really need to be learned in that particular area, when you're already perceived and you got it all worked out. And as I say so oftentimes, that sometimes you need to challenge yourself. Not challenge me as the pastor. You could do that. That's fine. Or the Bible says, try God. Know that He is God. The Bible teaches these things. Try the Spirit. And we could challenge the Word. But I'm talking about sometimes you need to just challenge your own thoughts. Why do I believe this way? Is this something that I've just believed in for many years because somebody told me this? And challenge it. There's children that are raised up and said, this is your father, or this is your mother. You know, this is that. And then they come up many years, find out, saying, hey, they just told me that, but that wasn't the truth. And they raise up and they find these things out. You see, and there's many times that people are raised up in some kind of a religious order of indoctrination, and there's going to be a sad day someday. They're going to wake up and find out, my God, I've been in error. I've been indoctrinated falsely and wrong for many, many years. Do you know there's millions of people in that way? But you see, I'm not talking to those people this morning. I'm talking to you this morning. And I'm trying to get you to possibly consider sometimes some of the things that you stand on and think is what is right, and think that that's the way it is. Have you ever really challenged your own way that you thought and come against the own ideology of your own thought? And sometimes you will study it out in the way that you perceive it, and you've created God, you've created His Word, you've created His timing, you've created His coming, you've created everything. And you've got it all worked out in such a way in your own idea of thought and the own study of your own idea that you've got it so filled up there that there's no room for anything else to come in, that you're content in the perspective of your own thoughts. Now, when we use a term of dogmatic, and we say that you're dogmatic about something, there are things that there is no room for anything else to come in that we should be dogmatic in. If I'm going to say, now look, I want to expand your thinking today, and I want you to perceive or consider this. Do you realize that there's a possibility that Buddha, you know, was some great prophet and some great man? And that possibly if we'd go down to the Chinese restaurant and rub his little belly and stuff, that we might have another entrance or a door into the eternal life? You see, your spirit should close up and say, man, you know, I've got enough word in me to know better than that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There is no other entrance. There is no other door. And He is the shepherd, and the sheep know His voice. Now, if I spoke like that, all of a sudden you would hear another voice saying, now, wait a minute, that's not my shepherd's voice speaking. If you truly believe what you're indoctrinated, that it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking, the shepherd speaking, then the thing is that you know the voice, and all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, that's not my shepherd speaking. I don't recognize that voice. It might have sounded like the same vocal utterance that come forth out of my mouth, so to speak, but I don't recognize that voice because I've never heard that voice from the sacred desk before. I've never heard Him speak like that. You see, now all of a sudden that you've got something that is resounding off of what is written and the Word of God. And then you would say, well, this doesn't line up with the Word. Now, there's times that we'll take things and think that we have Word and say, well, wait a minute, the Bible's thus and thus, and the Bible says this and that. But have you rightly divided the Word of God? Have you truly studied to show thyself approved, the workman who need not be ashamed? And sometimes we will take one scripture out of the Word, one little passage of scriptures, and we'll completely build a whole doctrine on it and move a whole different denomination or a sect of people, and they all believe that. There's some things that people like to repeat that they hear because it fits in their ideas again. Well, I like that. That's the way I like God to be. You realize that when we think of the God of America, that they have taken, made this God over years of all the preachers pretty much saying the same things. They all get on televisions saying the same thing. They've all been on the radios for years saying many of the same things. And they've got this whole nation perceiving that God is a certain way. And they're rewriting books and changing and calling, you know, we got a new translation of the Bible and this and that, because it doesn't seem to persecute the way that they're teaching God is. So they start changing it and watering it down and modifying it over years. And they do it through the intellectual mind of men studying and thinking that they perceive and understand something, and they pervert it. And they change it and they water it down. I used to use the NIV Bible, you know, and I used to read it and I liked it. I thought, well, man, this is more in the kind of the way we talk in this day and hour. But see, that's the way that it's alive. That's the way they'll present things to you. They'll present things to you such that way for you'll take your guard down and start reading and reading of that when it starts taking strength out of the Word of God. Starts taking things about the blood of the Lord Jesus out. Starts taking and making many changes. It's a shrewdness and craftiness of the devil himself. You know, brothers and sisters, there's so many ways that the devil will come to you and make a presentation to you, and he'll present a truth. But then there's somewhere laying back within the shadows of the truth that he has presented that he's going to sway you or convert you or turn you away from it. And he's going to use your thoughts. And he's going to deal with you in the way of thoughts. And if he can get you in your thought life and thinking, and you're thinking, well, I'm really meditating on the Word. Are you meditating on the Word, or are you meditating on your thoughts? This is not some kind of a problem that I'm presenting here that's isolated and one over here and maybe one over here. Now, there are some that war with the things I'm speaking about this morning more than others do. There's some that don't have control over the way they think more so than others do. Some men have their thought life more established. They've committed their works unto the Lord in a greater way, and their thoughts are more established. But there again, we could take that scripture totally out of context and think, well, I've done something for God, so my thoughts are all lined up and coordinated. It helps your thoughts, brothers and sisters, and helps bring them in. But let me tell you something. What about a Jehovah Witness? They've got their ways committed unto God in a measure. They're banging on doors. They're out talking about their God. They're using the same name and doing this, but their thoughts aren't established. But you see, we have to listen for the voice of God. God is going to speak to His people, and He speaks by the way of thoughts. As a young man came to me the other day there, he came up to me and he said, Brother Rob, he said, how do I know when it's God that's speaking to me? You know, and you think, well, man, I could sure tell. Well, I hope you can. But you know, that's a difficult thing. I'm a pastor, brothers and sisters. That don't mean nothing, I understand. But what I'm saying is, I've tried and made an effort to give my life to the Lord, and I have got to really listen and find the mind of God on many things. There's things that come and present themselves in the way of thoughts, and I've got to perceive. But I don't just have to perceive the thoughts that I'm dealing with, brothers and sisters. I got to perceive the thoughts that you deal with. I deal with a lot of people. I deal with ministers and people around throughout different parts of the country and different things and calling me and things. And I've got to deal with their thoughts. And the thing is I've got to differentiate their thoughts. And they'll think, well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. And I can't look at what they're doing and say it is or isn't God speaking to them. Because many of the things and the exploits that they do are of God. And it would line up with God's word. Hey, I'm preaching the gospel. God told me to go preach. Hey. So you think, okay, God told him to go preach and they want my help. So I've got to discern, did they really hear from God? And maybe God did really speak to him today to go preach, but tomorrow God told him to sit still. But because of their zealousness and their zeal and an overconfidence that they're running today. And I said, well, because it was discerned yesterday, it was of God. So today, you know, I'm going to support it. You see, then I find myself standing before an angry God. Well, you know, brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to perplex your thoughts. I'm telling you, I deal with a lot of thoughts, a lot of people. When conversations and fellowship and things are presented to me, or what do you think about doing this and what do you think about doing this, I've got to differentiate and decipher all these things into an order, especially if I'm going to be leading people. The thing is, brothers and sisters, but when it comes to an application to you in your life, yes, you fathers, you got children following you and watching after you. What are your thoughts? What are your children perceiving in the way you do? The thing is if we would speak in such a way that children are looking at their fathers as examples, and they're going to be following after their fathers, and they're not going to have enough discernment to say, well, my daddy's a Christian, and this is what, you know, we do as Christians. A child doesn't have that ability to start differentiating in a perspective and saying, well, you know, this is, you know, dad being natural or carnal or fleshly, and this is dad walking in the spirit. They just look and simply say, hey, you know, he's a Christian, this is what we do as Christians. This is why we got such a generation full of foolishness and ignorance and all these things, because of what children see. Parents are living in hypocrisy. Even without God, they're in hypocrisy. They tell their children one thing and do another. They slap the child across the face, you can't curse, and slap him across the face as they curse him out for cursing. They'll take and paddle them or make them eat a whole pack of cigarettes or smoke until they turn green and puke because they're smoking, and they'll turn around and smoke a cigarette as they walk away. Is that being a father or a mother or a parent or a teacher? You see, brothers and sisters, there are things that as adults do mature in the things of God that they would be partakers of that the children don't. We don't differentiate that into filthiness and perversions and those things. There are things that I would take a group of brethren or men and go into in the Word of God and speak about, but with little babies I couldn't because they're not mature enough or old enough to understand it. The Bible said, let him desire the sincere milk of the word. We got Bible for what I'm speaking about. But the thing is there's others that desire meat. Meat will choke out a baby. So as a minister, then people think, well, you know, if you just can't teach everything before everybody, then, you know, you must be a cult or you must be an error. I'm just speaking the word. If anything that I teach isn't found within this writing of this Bible, I wouldn't eat it. I'd throw it out. Anything that I say from this sacred desk or teach, and you cannot find that right here within this word, then you need to put it away and you need to run from it. I made a mention of this Montanism the other evening. Brother Chuck went up and looked up some things on it when we got home that evening. We were speaking about it. And there's some real truths that laid in that, but then there's some iffy areas. But then yet, one of the reasons I'm even saying what I'm saying this morning, because we were sitting there and we looked up and we got somebody's saying, well, this is what these people, this sect of people believed. And they were from like the 200th century. And they had a teacher, and this is what somebody's telling us that they believed. I can go pull up information on William Branham, or I could go pull up information on possibly Brother George or different people throughout the years that we would say we witnessed and proved, but then we pull this information up and they say, oh yeah, this is what they believed. I had a preacher down here, Assembly of God preacher. He said, oh yeah, man, don't have nothing to do with that William Branham, none of his stuff. He'd teach that ye are gods. And I said, well, that's what the Bible teaches. So why would I throw it out for that? But you see, people will read that and say, oh, I ain't have nothing to do with that. This guy said this. They don't even know who that guy is. Why don't they write one on the guy that wrote that? I wrote that article. Now, the thing is when you're going out and you're trying to understand things and trying to understand maybe different moves of God, and you're going to go over here and read it, and if we were going to be speaking about something that you believe in this morning is healing in the Pentecostal message, and I say, well, go study up Pentecost and go study up this Pentecostal move in this day and hour. So you go on your computer and you punch in that, and all of a sudden, man, there's so many things that'll pop up, days of it, pages after pages. Well, I'll read this one from Dr. Such and Such. You know, and that sounds like a good guy. I'm going to read it from him. Well, he's a Baptist. He's been to seminary. He's been all over. Boy, he's got a doctor's degree. And he says, oh, don't believe none of these things, man. Let me tell you thus and thus. And he'll take you to one scripture. You know, when all things become perfect, you know, all these things shall cease. Speaking of the gifts. So all things were perfect when Jesus came. Well, let me tell you something. You've all heard that as a Pentecostals. Let's just talk about that for a moment. If I went over to the 12th chapter of Corinthians and read that to you there, or it might be in the 13th, and it talks about these things ceasing when all things become perfect. Let's talk about that. You believe that? Oh, amen, I do. Well, are things perfect now? Oh, amen, they are. Let me tell you something. In the spirit, I don't need a tongue or nor interpretation. You know why? Because all things are perfect there, and I have an unction and an understanding there. Or there is an understanding in the spirit, know all things. I don't need healing in the spirit because it's perfect. I don't need prophecy in the spirit. Do you understand that? All those things have come perfect. The spirit world has separated itself from time. There is no time. The spirit man has separated itself from all diseases and all sicknesses and all infirmities. It doesn't need those things. The gifts is in another dimension, in the soul realm. They're running in the soul. It's a spiritual work, but it's manifesting in the soul. Is where it's at. You say, oh no, it's for the body. The body's reckoned to be dead, brothers and sisters. The Bible doesn't say that we're preaching the gospel to save the body. It's for the saving of the soul. So see, we have to differentiate these things. So they take a truth that is written in there, but then they take it and put it into a chronological perspective. And then they say that God isn't doing something. But again, through differentiation, we have to understand what He is doing and what dimension He's doing it in. You see, the Spirit does not need to be glorified. The Spirit does not need to be transfigured. The Spirit does not need to be changed. The Spirit always has been before the foundation of the world. The Spirit, brothers and sisters, isn't being born again. You know, we say, what is born again? Now, if we're going to start differentiating spirits, and we're going to differentiate the human spirit and God's spirit, and then we're going to start talking about them becoming one. When you're going to talk about a birthing in the spirit, it's that human spirit. But when you're going to start speaking, brothers and sisters, in a chronological perspective of thought, you got to know where to apply that. If you're going to be speaking in the blood life or in the soul realm, you're going to have to keep things in order in a soulish perspective, in a soul realm. And the religious people are in a very soulish religion in this day and hour. I teach and preach more soulish religion, saying on the other perspective, than any other dimension, because that's where you live. That's where the travail's at. If I've come into the wilderness realm and I can say I've been over through the door across the Canaan, I've been over there and I saw the beautiful fruit and I saw these things, you know, and then I'm going to take you from that realm over into Canaan. And see, the thing is where God Himself condescended to a men of a less estate, we could say, and He condescended down to bring them up. He didn't bring the things down. He come down and to catch them up. It's a catching up, a catching away. As I said a moment ago in looking at thoughts of rapture, there's a daily rapture that takes place every single day. If you are in the mind of transformation in the soulish realm, you're catching up your thoughts into the mind of God on a daily basis. Casting down your thoughts, catching away in His thoughts. Mortification, killing out. Mortifying the deeds, brothers and sisters, of the man, of your thoughts, of the way you perceive it, the way you think, catching yourself up into the way he thinks. You see, as a Pentecostal, you think that it's God's will for everybody to be in perfect will, for everybody to be healed, everybody to walk in healing, everybody to do this, you see? And I don't believe that. I know it's His perfect will for everybody to be that, but it's not His will. Because His will is manifesting and taking place, brothers. The Bible said it's not His will for any to perish, not even one. But then yet people are perishing all the time. So the thing is it's not God's will for me to pluck my hand off, but it is His will for me to pluck my hand off if it offends me. So see, I'm having to find the real true will of God. So then, as we speak like this, and we find that maybe the will in one man's life over here is different than the will in another man's life, but we're serving one and the same God. And the will of God in your life changes as you change and progress into the things of God and the kingdom of God. Today it may not be God's will for you to preach the gospel because you're a novice. But as you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, then God's will would be for you to preach the gospel. A minister, brothers and sisters, has to be an example. I say a mother and father should be an example to their children. When they tell their children to do one thing and they're doing another, I don't think the parents are a good example. The children are going to do what they see, not what you say. That's what they're going to do. It's something automatic in children that want to be like dad. That is their father. They want to be like their father. And you know, fathers, and we have to be very careful what we do and how we do it and what our children are projecting or perceiving the life of Christ in our life. Now, if we take it outside of the family order and we look at you as an employee or an employer, as a boss or as an employee, whatever you may say, you see, many times you want to share the good news of the gospel with people and talk about Jesus, but they can't hear you because they see what's going on in your life. They don't see what they think God is. And there's many times, brothers and sisters, that people will absolutely shut you off and not hear you simply by the way you look, the way you conduct yourself, by the things that you say, by your business conducts, because they don't see what they perceive what Christ is in it. When Paul made a statement, when in Rome do as the Romans, this and that, people take that so far out of context. But the thing is if I'm trying to reach a certain order of people, I do have to understand their traditions in a measure that I won't offend them in such a way they couldn't even hear me. Holiness is something that's a conviction of my heart. And it's an ordinance out of the scriptures and the word of God. Be ye holy. Commands us to dress as becometh holy. It's not just an invisible spiritual work. Even though for many years of doctrine through the churches and things, they've taken and destroyed that and tore it down. But it's biblical. Now the thing is there's certain people that if I was going to try to bring revelation to them of present day truth of any kind, that they would see that I've rejected that and not walked in it, they wouldn't hear anything I had to say. So what would be for me to do? The proper thing for me to do would be to understand what they are indoctrinated in their traditions or whatever it may be, that I could conform to that and the word could be heard and spoken of. Now when Jesus came and walked among them, he fulfilled their laws. But there were still things he'd done that had drawn them up. And they found fault with him in many things. Even some of the people he went in amongst their homes. When he spoke to the woman at the well, she said, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, I perceive, you know, that you're a Jew. Why would you even speak to me, a Samaritan? I can't even understand that, why you would speak." You see, so there was a thing, brothers and sisters, that he did conform and walk in. But then there was other things that he showed. There was a breaking away from that Jewish tradition. I know I've said a lot this morning. I haven't said anything. You say, "Well, what have I heard this morning that would edify me?" Brothers and sisters, the thing is when you start listening by the Spirit of God, you're going to find yourself challenging you in your own way that you think and what you perceive, what you've looked at, what you thought you've understood. And you may have broke away from reading other ministers' books. You may have broke away from watching many of them or listening to them on the radios. And the thing is that I don't spend a lot of time saying, "Hey, you don't need to listen to this, you don't need that." When you get into the mind of God and the mind of revelation, you ain't going to be listening to it because you're not going to find his mind there. You're not going to have to be exhorted by the minister, say, "You need to stay away from that." But do you know your shepherd's voice? Do you really know? Do you actually follow after a voice of strangers? Is there a time that you would follow after a strange voice? You see, have you really, truly discerned what the shepherd's voice is? Now you could say, you could look at me and say, "Well, Brother Rob, I kind of know." But that's why I spoke even the way I did a second ago when I said something about even rubbing the belly of a little fat thing in a Chinese restaurant. You know, see, that's not my voice, nor the shepherd's voice. And the thing is could I have a voice and Jesus have a voice? If we have a different voice, brothers and sisters, I would run from this church as quick as I can get out the door. Do you understand that? So the thing is if I and the shepherd are one, Jesus said that. You see, there's one voice. Now, when we differentiate things, Brother Ed over here is a husband, I'm a husband. Brother Ed over here is another husband. And Brother Jeff's a husband, Brother Andy's a husband, and they have a wife. And we understand that through a order. And we understand that his wife submits to him. My wife submits to me. My wife doesn't need to submit to you. And you don't need to get her thoughts or her mind. And I'm a pastor and a shepherd here in this church. And you don't bring your wives to church to come into Brother Rob's mind. We come here to come into the mind of God. Now the thing is when we look at each and every one of us as a differentiation or a breakdown as a separate family order, there's still one mind that we all come into a headship of. But then yet, through the order of that household, there is a structure that I don't violate. Because I'd be violating the Word of God. Your wife submits to you as her husband in a different way than she would submit to me as a pastor. Totally different kind of submission. There's a reverence and a respect in both. But it's a totally different kind of submission. When a woman tries to submit her thoughts to me as a pastor, and it goes into a way, it could go into a perverted way just like that. Never with a thing of laying or touching the woman. Never with anything that could go into a perversion of thought. There's ways that I could counsel you as the men, and I could go into it and be clean and in order in the mind of God. I can't go there with women. I can't talk about things I could talk about with brethren that I wouldn't even begin to speak about with women. You see, there's an order, brothers and sisters, of thought. And one would say, well, I understand the mind of the shepherd and the mind of God. But see, there's an order in which that mind is going to operate in and fellowship in to keep the order of the Word and of the Scriptures. Now, as I break these things down, and I'm speaking about a congregation, I'm speaking about marriages, I'm speaking about households and different things. And where we got to find and to get this order in and to keep our order in is right here. You see, brothers and sisters, there is an order of thought that comes to man. And they have to be differentiated. Is it the thought of God? Is it the thought of the human spirit? Is it the thought of Satan? And these three thoughts are working in every one of your mind continuously, perpetually, continually. I don't know how to express it to you. All the time. These things are happening all the time. You don't have any control of the birds flying around over the air. None. They're going to fly around. But if you're going to let them stop and build a nest on your house, you have control of that. I have to explain that because the thing is there are thoughts that come. You won't have control of that, but you have control of thoughts. You can control thoughts and bring them into a captivity. You can bring them into an order. And when we say into a captivity, they're in a way of controlling that thought. There's thoughts, brothers and sisters, that can be of God that still even have to come into a captivity. Now, we think when we're bringing something to captivity, it's a thought outside of a thought of God. But let me tell you something. Those thoughts even have to be brought into an order. As I perceived and received the thoughts of God of a calling in my life to preach the gospel. See, that thought had to be brought into a captivity. My pastor reproved me. And he said, Brother Rob, you got to have your thoughts in order. He said, you got to control zeal in your life. Now, see, I could take a thought through zealousness and bring that thought out of order. I could prophesy over a little child that's 5 years old, 6 years old, and say, you're called to preach the gospel. That thought has to be brought into order, brothers and sisters. He could, at 7 years old, say, I'm called to preach and start preaching the gospel. You might recognize gifts in his life and start exhorting him at a young age. Let him get before people and testify and do things. But he's nowhere in a condition to be pastoring a church. Many times people will perceive the callings in their life and they think, well, bless God, I perceived and I understand I'm called. It's been vindicated and verified. So then they go and move in it. And many times they're not where they need to be. Paul found himself separated from the Jews and everybody going over on the backside of the desert. I believe it was 3 years, might have been five. And you say, well, boy, that's pretty fast work. Yeah, it is. Looking at the way man thinks. You see, you is the way a man thinks. And you say, I raise up a child. When he's 5 years old, I'm going to put him in school. He's not fit to be a man until he's 18. He's got to go to school. He's got to be learned in all the ways of the school. And you'll take and push him and pump him and press him for 12 years to go to school. But then when you get over into the order of God and the mind of God, you know, hey, here we are today and tomorrow, something different. You see, when we think of the transformation of mind, and we're transforming our mind and our thoughts into his mind and his thoughts, that's a changeover that's happening on a daily basis. And when we get into the mind of God, brothers and sisters, as I've used as an example before in times past, I spoke to you about a man that learns to speak Spanish, and somebody speaks to him and says, hey, ¿cómo está usted? How are you? You see, but you might have heard that enough that you say, he's saying, how are you? But usually there's a transformation that you took that Spanish word that came to you and you transformed it into an English, for you knew what he was saying because you think in English. You perceive in English. You understand in English. And you converted that. But when you master the language is when you think in the language. And you can think in the language that you're not converting. You're thinking in. You see, when you're going through a realm of transformation into the mind of God, you're taking and converting every thought and everything that you heard, and you're converting it into the mind of the Lord. And you're converting, you're converting, you're converting. But there is a place that's attainable in the mind of God, in the revelation of the Lord, that you will be thinking in the mind of God. And you'll perceive in the mind of God. Brothers and sisters, there's people, because they're shallow. I almost have a reservation to speak this. I got to check in my spirit. I'm going to speak it, and I hope you can differentiate and understand. There are people that are so shallow in God that when they speak, they say, I've got to go pray about it. I'm going to have to go pray about it. Now, let me tell you something. I'm shallow then, because I go pray about a lot of things. So I'm trying to get you to differentiate what I'm saying. But in most cases, brothers and sisters, there's no need to go and petition the throne of God or pray about it, because I'm in his mind and know how he thinks. Let me give you an example of that. If I go over here to somebody's home and I walk in the house and we're in the living room or fellowshipping this and that, and he says, hey, you want a Budweiser? Well, let me go pray about it. Now, does that sound foolish to you? What are you going to go pray about? Hey, God, you changed your mind? Have you changed your thoughts, God? Hey, let's smoke a joint. Oh, let me go pray about it. You see, brothers and sisters, I have come to a place in God. I don't have to go pray about it. I don't have to ask God. You see, because I've came into the thoughts and the mind of God. I've used this example as a husband and a wife, if I'm the bride of Christ. But I've used this example as a husband and wife. I've been married to my wife 30 years. There's not things she has to ask me. She knows exactly where I'm at on it and how I stand on it. She don't have to ask me. There's people that come to you and say, hey, brother, what about us, us, and us? Well, my answer is the same. I've had some people think, well, you know, I've heard that. Well, if I change, then I'm given to change. But this is the way I stand on that, and this is the way I believe. And I'm not going to move. You can present it to me. You can stand on your head and tell me, hey, this is what I want to do. You can stand on your feet. You can do somersaults. You can fly. You can write it to me in a letter. You can speak in tongues and give me the interpretation. My answer is always still the same. Because it's in the mind of God. It's in his mind, it's his thoughts, it's his way. So many times you'll start taking, well, this is the Lord's mind, and you'll have to transformate your thoughts and your mind on it. But there is a place as you grow in the grace and knowledge of God that you will be thinking in the mind of God. He said, let this mind be in you that thought of not robbery to be equal with God. There's things that you will stumble on when the minister's preaching and teaching that you're going to stumble on because it's not your thoughts or the way you think it is. You think, oh, wait a minute. And there's things that you'll wrestle with and stumble with. That doesn't make you bad, but you need to wrestle with the things in the perspective of find the mind of God in it. What's his mind on it? Two employees could be working, and one says, well, let's do this, and another one says, I don't know. I think we're going to get in trouble with the boss. I don't think the boss is going to be happy with us if we do that. So see, there's a travail. So now what do they got to do? They got to find the mind of the boss. They've got two different minds here now. And one of them saying, let's do this, it'll please the boss. The other one says, no, it's going to grieve the boss. Two minds. So these men have got to come to find out what the boss's mind is. This is who I'm talking to this morning. You see, there's an inner man and outer man. There is an intellectual man that has made himself very religious. He's climbed up another way. And he thinks he knows the voice of God. And he's climbed up another way, and then he's wrestling with thoughts. Thinking, well, I think this would be okay in God. I think this would be all right. What are you speaking about, Brother Rob, you might say? Well, one would be wrestling and say, well, I think it's permissible for me to do this. I think it's permissible for me to drink. I think it's permissible to smoke. I think it's permissible. This is under the blood. It's permissible to curse a little bit. It's permissible for this. My mama's a Christian. My daddy's a Christian. They do this. They do that. You see, you're wrestling with thoughts. And what you need to do is come into the mind of God. And when you come into the mind of God, there is a transformation, there is a continual warfare, there is a struggle, brothers and sisters, but there is a place of rest that you get beyond that. When you struggle with principalities and powers, you'll struggle with those things, but you can come to a place that you press beyond them. There were things I warred with as I gave my life to the Lord Jesus as a young Christian that they don't even trouble me now because I've conquered those things. They don't even come around me. You know why you wore out in your mind about spirits is because you listen to them and give them a place to speak. When they come around, if you just shut them up, Pretty soon they like to talk. They like to have preeminence. They like to manifest. They like to rule. They like to conquer. And when they see that they can't, the Bible said, draw nigh unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he flees. So many times it's the lack of drawing nigh unto God. How do I draw nigh unto God, Brother Rob? Do I have to stay home? Do I have to pray? Do I have to fast? Do I have to do that to draw nigh unto God? Well, those things help. I'll clue you that for sure. But when you draw nigh unto God, you're drawn nigh into his mind, his word, the way he thinks. That's what he is. He is spirit. So if I'm going to draw nigh unto him, the only way I can draw nigh unto him is in the spirit. And how do spirits present themselves to you in this day and hour? Does anybody see him floating around the room? And if God speaks to you, how does he speak to you? I stand here before you and I say, well, I heard from the Lord. I prayed and God spoke to me. Or God this, God that. Is the only time God speaks to you is when you're praying? Well, we could use that for a terminology. If Jeff isn't here with me right now, and he's off at his house, and I say, hey, I just talked with Jeff, you're going to perceive real quick that I was on the telephone with him. So if we're going to say we have a telephone under the Lord or under the kingdom of God, it's going to be what we call prayer. But the Bible says we pray continually without ceasing. So have I violated the scriptures while I'm sitting here ministering to you this morning because I couldn't be praying? See, you don't understand prayer. You don't understand intercession. You know, there is a prayer and an intercession with groanings and things that can't be uttered, and there's a travail. You know, where they're crying between the porch and the altars and in a travail and a weeping. But brothers and sisters, there should be a continued intercession in the spirit of God speaking to you. I've made a statement. I said the little brother come to me and says, how do I know when it's God speaking to me? What is so important of a question for a young man to be asking that many people should be asking? How do I know that this is God telling me to go preach? How do I know this is God to go do this exploit? How do I know this is God to tell me to go here or go there? It's like I told you when the man come to the church, he said, man, he came and said, hey, I had a dream from God and I'm supposed to come to this church. And the Lord spoke to him and said, a dream brought him in, a dream will bring him out. So was it of God? What God was it of? Did God send him in and God take him away? You see, brothers and sisters, I'm not dream led. I'm spirit led. And the thing is when you follow after those things, then you'll be in error. How are you led? What voice is leading you today? Many times there's people that come to church and come here and it wasn't because God led them here. There was other things that led them here. But the thing is God suffers that. And when they're here, they need to come into the mind and hear the shepherd's voice, the voice of God. Not speaking of myself. I am a shepherd, but I'm speaking of the voice of the shepherd and a stranger they will not follow. You see, brothers and sisters, if a brother come to you tomorrow and said this, said, hey, you know what? Brother Rob told me it was okay. You know, he said that he really feels that it was all right for me to go down here to the local bar. There's a bar down here on South Main. He said it would be okay for me to go in there. Thought that maybe I could win a soul. He said to, you know, disguise things a little bit. Don't go in there real religious. Go in there and get you a beer and sit down and drink with them. You know, just kind of enter in with them, you know. And, you know, if they offer you a cigarette, take and smoke it and sit there with them, that you could find fellowship with them. Now, if somebody came to you on the job tomorrow, Brother Ed, and said that's what Brother Rob told him, what would you say? Okay, you'd say that's no days. He said, that doesn't sound like Brother Rob, I know. So see, he perceives there is a thought or a mind that he has evidently found in Brother Rob. And say, no, I don't, Brother Rob isn't going to do that. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, so we start understanding the thoughts, the intents of a heart. We start understanding these things. Now the thing is that when you're outside of the presence of a shepherd or a pastor, we might say, or you're outside of that, there's thoughts that are orchestrating your day. There's things coming to your mind, okay? If me and Brother Randall's out taking care of business and a thought comes and says, hey, man, Ken's is looking real good. It's about lunchtime. You know, hey. Now, if somebody went over to Brother Ed and said, hey, you know what? I heard that Brother Rob and Brother Randall's going to the sushi bar. I said, oh, I can't believe that. You wouldn't have a problem with that, would you? But see, is that the mind of God? See, there's another thought there. There's another realm, another thought altogether now that comes into an existence. But when you're out and about your day, there's going to be things that's orchestrating your day and putting you here and putting you there. And you get very accustomed to following after thought. I think I'm tired. What do? You go lay down. I think I'm hungry. You go feed it. I think I'm thirsty. You go give some drink. I think I'm pressed in necessity. You find the restroom. And you see, a man is so given to his thoughts and ordered by his thoughts the way he thinks. Then he comes to another mind, and here's another mind, the mind of God. You know what he does with the mind of God? He starts intertwining him with his thoughts. Nothing wrong with this. This is the transformation realm. And he starts intertwining them together. And then he starts thinking religiously. Now instead of thinking the way he thought when you was a drunk, you thought like a drunk. When you was a whoremonger, you thought like a whoremonger. But now you're religious. So you start taking this other mind of thought, the mind of God, the mind of Jesus, and you start transforming some of your way of thinking into that. And then you've got these two things intermingling together. This is vomit on the tables of God. It's light and darkness. Now you're going to take the scriptures and say, well, I know bitter water can't come from a sweet well, and I know light and darkness can't come. They can't intermingle. Light eradicates darkness. But brothers and sisters, there is a middle realm of twilight there where these things are mixing. And it's vomit on the tables of God, and that's why it's the soul that has to be saved. And many times as people will transformate so far in that realm and be religious, but they've never come through the door. They perceive the things from the spirit world that have condescended down to their level, but they condescended down to catch them away into another level. And they took and conformed those things in the dimension that they're in and they live in. And they eat what they want to eat. They go where they want to go. They do what they want to do. They listen to where they want to listen. They preach where they want to preach. They help where they want to help. You see, that's not the mind of God, brothers and sisters. That's a religious mind. That's just religion is all that is. If we are transformating now and we find ourselves in this twilight realm and we find ourselves in this realm, the Bible said, whoever you give your members to is who you are of. Who are you giving your members into? One day it might be over to darkness and one day it might be over to light. Peter found himself there. Get you behind me, Satan. And then speaking to him said, man, that was revealed to you from heaven. So we find right there, one that was walking in darkness and one that was walking in light. That would sound contrary to the scriptures, but this is why we have to differentiate and understand the word of God. Let's read some scripture, and then we're going to expound on that in a little bit. I won't keep you too long. Just talking with you this morning. Just turn over to the Gospel of John. Go to the 10th chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Let's just stop right there for a moment. So there's another way to climb up, isn't there? This would not be written right here if there was another way to climb up. Now we know that Jesus is that door, and he is the way. But there is another way in. Some climb up through Muhammad. Some climb up through Buddha. Some climb up through different gods. Whoever their God is, and they'll climb up another way. Do you realize that in America, the Christian people of America have climbed up another way? Now, I can't say that as a blanket statement that all Americans that call themselves Christians are lost. I'm not saying that. They all were founded. Just as I said the other night about the government of America, it was founded by God-fearing men. But see, it's turned away and it's put out. When you turn and do evil, all the goodness is forgotten about, according to the word of God. Wouldn't that be the same way as a nation? What about some of these kings that were raised up, the prophets of God, through the word of God, called them to be the next king of a nation? And they were raised up and made strong by the move of God. Don't you know that in many times that it was God fighting the battle for them when they went into battle? What do you think about Gideon's army? Who done that when God was showing himself in it? Who confounded the minds of the men when they took the clay pots with the candle burning them and busted them open and confounded the mind of the own army that they all turned and started killing themselves? Or when he takes a jawbone of an ass and slews hundreds? You see, God showed himself all the way through, brothers and sisters. But these men, many great men, have turned away after they had been raised up and went in the mind of God and walked in those things, but then have turned away. If a nation does that, the Bible teaches if that nation would humble themselves and call upon the Lord, he'd heal their land. So when we find out what is the other way of climbing up, I named some religions and things, but do you realize that when we take it to you as an individual, now we're forgetting about all of the different sects of people and religions and orders and denominations, we're separating from that. As I say, when you come to church solely by yourself, and I say that the scripture would be true that when the Son of God came to present himself, that the devil was there also. So when you come to church by yourself, that scripture is true. So when we look at this scripture and breaking it down and understanding it, brothers and sisters, there's another way to climb up. Let me tell you something. Most people don't walk in enough discernment of God that a man could climb up another way and they'll perceive him as a very spiritual man. And they will submit their spirit to him and say, that's a brother, and that man is spiritual. And he's climbed up another way. And they'll follow him as climbed up another way. How do you know that, Brother Rob? Because I've been there. I've been on that ladder going up another way with men of God. You see, do you discern the voice of the shepherd? And if you discern the voice of the shepherd, You see, brothers and sisters, it's not because you've skilled in an audible sound. It's because you're skilled in a voice from the Spirit. I used examples this morning that if a man would speak, and I used me, you say, I'm your pastor, and I spoke and said, now wait a minute, that's not Brother Rob. I don't see that. I don't perceive that. I've never heard him say that. And this would be to some of you that's been over years of listening and seeing a performance in my life and not doing certain things. And it's been vindicated that the voice of God maybe be speaking in my life. To some it hasn't been. To some it has been. Some are too busy following their own thoughts, their own voice. A man that follows his own thoughts and his own voice will be a man that perishes every single time. I'm not commanded to follow my voice, my thoughts, my ideas. I'm not to train my thoughts to be his thoughts. I'm not trained, brothers and sisters, to do that. See, I could get real religious, and because I'm religious and I've ate of the way the mind of God is, and I take and train, and I can make my thoughts his thoughts. It's not what it's all about. It's a transformation into his mind. It's not taking my mind and making it religious to sound religious that I can have a conduct to really, at the end of the matters, I do what I want to do anyway. See, that's not a servant of God. A servant of God, brothers and sisters, is at his service to do whatever he so would have him to will. Even the Son of Man said, hey, is there any way that this cup could pass from me? You know, but if this is your will, you know, so be it. But I don't think that the Son of Man is the one that chose the course to go to the cross of Calvary. And this is where we start differentiating in religion again. Well, this is the way I think religion is, man. It's all hunky-dory. I said that word the other day and I said I didn't know what it meant. I'm not sure if I should say that. I hope that's okay. My Jesus and my Christianity, man, my God is a God of love. He's a God of peace. And you know, and he is those things. But see, they don't understand that. They think that if there's any tribulation in your Christianity, that it's of the devil. Any tribulation coming forth from the devil. And it does. They're right in part. But God sends it. God allows it. Go read Job. God's very clear in Job who's doing this. But brothers and sisters, we have to absolutely learn to differentiate the mind of God in our own thoughts. Try the Spirit and see if it be of God. I could literally say this. Try the thoughts, which the Bible does say that too, and see if it be of God. If the Bible says cast down every thought and every vain imagination that would exalt itself against God, so there are thoughts that we have to cast down. Have you ordered your thought life in order? Is it established or is it religious? Is it in the soul realm or is it in the spirit realm? Is your religion in the spirit or is it in the soul? And there's both. And when you're in the spirit, it's going to manifest in the soul. That's where it's manifested. That's where it's seen, comprehended, and understood at. So you can't have one without the other, but you can have, when reversing it, you could be very soulish and very soul realm religion, being caught up, coming up another way. Let's read on here just a little bit. It said, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. And leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd who owns the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know, when we speak about the Lord having the power to lay his life down and the power to pick it up, and we know that when we get into the perspective of the resurrection, knowing that he is the resurrection and the calling forth, and we know that it was the Spirit that dwelled within him that come forth. But do you not realize, brothers and sisters, that you need to read this and know who you are in Christ? Because I can't lay your life down. I can't do that for you. I could try to be an example of a sacrificial life to the best of my ability. But brothers and sisters, you have the power to take your life up or the power to put it down. And you have to learn to do this. You have to learn to mortify and to kill out. When we get into the thought life, we could kill out one thoughts and bring another one alive. And yes, that has to do with the transformation of mind and thought. And that's where the travail, where the warfare is. That's where the red dragon lays, the blood life, the soul realm. It's all right there. That's why I say I speak more in that second dimension than anything else, because I'm dealing with the warfare and the travails and the fights and the stumblings and the staggerings right there, and they're in your life. One day you'll walk as an overcomer in Christ, walking on the clouds. Man, praise God, God is good. The next day you're in despair. You see, you've come in and out of that door. And God's trying to bring us to a place, brothers and sisters, that we are not moved by the things around us of this world, by the religious institutions, the religious orders, by the way and the things that we have been caught through the door into that place with Christ, brothers and sisters, that we walk steadfast, unmovable in all of our ways. You see, brothers and sisters, when we start perceiving here of where this authority and this power is at, and you lay it down, you have to come to the same mind that he came into to lay his own life down. Yes, you'll travail in your spirit. You'll go before the Lord just as he did. You might have a Gethsemane experience. God, can this cup pass? God, could this? What is necessary? The Bible said that obedience is better than sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, we have to break that down also. You see, Jesus Christ's life of obedience was better than the sacrificial life. He came as obedience. The lamb was taken and slaughtered and slain. We go to the Old Testament type. We find the lamb being slaughtered for the sins to roll back every year. He wasn't pleased with that sacrifice, if you'd read in the book of Hebrews, because it was a remembrance of those things again and again. But he was pleased with this sacrifice because it was done away with. It put it away. But if we bring it, obedience is better than sacrifice, into an application right now today in your own life, brothers and sisters, the thing is, obedience is better. You walk in an obedient life before the Lord, it's better than the sacrifices that you will go through. But the thing is sacrifice is an awesome thing, brothers and sisters, when it takes that to bring forth obedience. Because even Jesus himself, the Son of Man, said that he learned obedience by what? The things that he suffered. That's what the Bible says. And you're thinking, oh man, I can't see that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You perceive it by the mind of God, you will understand it and comprehend that. So the thing is if it was necessary for him to suffer, and the Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. And if it's necessary, brothers and sisters, for you to suffer, you say, what does that mean, Brother Rob, suffer? People suffer in different ways. There's people that suffer in mental disorder and disabilities. They don't have any pain in their body, no physical affliction whatsoever, but they suffer in their mind. They suffer with infirmities of mental disorders in their life. You go to a nut house and you have a man walk up to you that's younger than you are and shake your hand and tell you that he's George Washington, and he believes it. He's suffering in his mind. You see, brothers and sisters, but when we come into an obedience is better than sacrifice, if there's anything that stands between you and God, it will be sacrificed, brothers and sisters, and taken away from you. There's been great men of God taken off the scene at young ages because the people, wasn't it the man was in error, it's that the people went into error and they put that man between them and God, and they've gone off the scene. You see, God has his way, brothers and sisters. We need to have great men of God, yes, but then yet we need to know the voice of the shepherd and a stranger we will not follow. And we need to understand that. And the thing is even though that the voice of the shepherd might be speaking in a man in the earth, the people, if they're not careful and ain't walking right, they'll start perceiving another voice and another mind and lead them astray. And the shepherd could be right, but the people be in error because they led off by another voice and they're not perceiving the voice and the mind of God. You see, two people could hear the exact same word and perceive it totally different. When Paul was speaking between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were listening to it just like a Republican and a Democrat. And they was going to pull the man in two. You see what I'm saying? But then yet there's a mind of God, a voice of one that brings you into the sheepfold. He said that there was other ones that weren't of that fold, but he said they'd all come into one. And there is a thing in God, brothers and sisters, all got to move into a oneness, but it won't be the Antichrist move that's happening in this day and hour. There is a oneness coming together, but it is a religious order, and it's all going to be under the governorship of the Antichrist. And it already is. But there will be this Antichrist to step in and take it up as the head of it. Just as God, there's going to be a one order in the mind of God. And when Jesus steps back forth, he will take that mind, brothers and sisters, and be the headship of that order because he's the headship of it now. He won't be made then that head. He already is. The Antichrist is already ahead of an order today that's manifesting today, right now in this day and hour. There's so many things we could talk about if we start differentiating thoughts. You know, people are thinking, well, you know, someday the mark of the beast is going to come, you know, and they're going to get the mark. The mark of the beast is already here, and people have already taken it. And you say, well, I don't believe that. That's because you're thinking naturally, and I'm speaking spiritually speaking. There will be these things fulfilled naturally. Yes, there will be a mark in their hand. There will be a mark in their head. This will be a thing that will take place, brothers and sisters, where it'll all go through a computer control. I believe that. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, if that's what you're waiting to think on and don't believe that there's people that have already taken that mark today, what do you think about when a man is twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and he's dead while you still live? Don't you know he's been marked? Don't you know that when the Lord told him to mark Cain when he went out, don't you know that there was a mark that took place? No, it wasn't a tattoo. Don't you know in this day and hour, this society, everybody's getting all marked up with their tattoos is just an allegory of showing this thing when we're not even supposed to mark our bodies up? Brothers and sisters, there's just things that when you speak, you need to make sure that you're listening and what dimension you're listening to it in. What about a preacher that was preaching 100 years ago that's gone on and the people have gone on? And if they was waiting for this hope in Christ's return, I guess they've missed it or they can't have it. You see, there had to be one for them in their day. There had to be a catching up for them in their day and hour. There has to be a catching up today for you and I. Has to be. I'm not deferring your hope and putting its resurrection in the distance. If we go one chapter over from right here where we're at and read the story about Lazarus. You know, Jesus brought it into a present day truth. He said, I am the resurrection. He said, oh no, he's not dead. He's asleep. You see? He's the word. He's our example. He's the shepherd. He's what he said. I believe it. What he said. So why would you be waiting on a resurrection when he is the resurrection? Is he with you? Is he present? Is he now? Is he the I am? Brothers and sisters, we read the scriptures and we need to understand the voice of God and understand that voice. And see, you're not waiting to hear from Brother Rob. You're not waiting to put a tape in of some preacher that you knew or thought. You should have this voice speaking to you every moment in the presence of the Lord. The doctors will say you're schizophrenic. I mean, you got more than one voice speaking to you. There's not a person alive in this world that doesn't have more than one voice speaking to them. Now, some of them, their thoughts are so scattered, they can't correlate even to know what's speaking to them. And that's the Christianity of today. They're scattered, going this way. There's people, naturally speaking, that have so many thoughts going to them. They're going this way a moment, and they're going this way. They don't know where they're going or what's going on. There's people, brothers and sisters, that they would appear to be sound to you. They would appear to be normal in the way that you think that they conduct themselves. They're business people. They have business. And they conduct themselves. They keep their bills paid, thus, and thus. And you think, hey, this is good. But they're just as crazy as what I'm talking about. They walk the serpent course, that crooked path. God's way straight. It's the street called straight. But when you see a man, he's going this way today, and then he's going this way tomorrow. He's going this way today, and he's going this way tomorrow. That's the trail of the serpent. He winds his way through. Christianity does not do that. But there's people that have not discerned voices in their head. They have not discerned it from the voice of God, from the voice of their own religious indoctrinations, and the voice of Satan. Some say, well, I could tell when Satan's talking to me. He says, go get a joint, go get a beer, go do this. I could discern the voice of Satan. Well, that is his voice. There's no doubt about that. He also says, go preach the gospel. He also says, hey, go over here. Did he come to Jesus? How did he talk to Jesus when he came? Did he talk in defilement? Did he talk in filth? Did he talk in disgust? No, he challenged him, didn't he? And he said it's written, and he quoted the word. So see, once you get beyond the drugs and the alcohols and the lust and those things, in that measure, and you come into other realms, then you find yourself discerning thoughts that would appear to be good. There's different dimensions, different measures. You got to discern if it is God's voice that tells you to go here and there. Is this of God? Or is it just a religious zeal? Does it look like it might be a good thing to do? Or is it the Lord saying, telling your pastor to go? You think I haven't challenged that thought? There's times that I've made a decision to do things and I find God dealing with me and saying, no, you're out of season. It isn't time. Or perhaps maybe totally missed the Lord. Maybe moved in zeal. So the thing is we got to find the mind of God in these things. I think you've all sat in this church long enough and in the ministry of the Lord here that God has set me over this perspective of, that you haven't seen me making too many changes. If I set my course to do something, we usually set the course and we do it. I would be afraid if I was one that was given to change all the time, saying this is what we're going to do. I'd be afraid to go start a church over here and get a church started, and then all of a sudden, well, you know, it must be something different now, and go over here and start another one, and go over here and start another one, and move and relocate and do things. I must not be established or hearing the voice of God. Could God tell us to sell this building and pack up and move somewhere else? Well, sure he could. But have we finished what he's told us to do here? When people say that they're orchestrated and moving by the Lord, and the Lord prepares to remove them into an area or into a place or into something, you know, say, okay, well, God, I can't question that. I see that God done that. But did he fulfill it? Does God put you to do something that isn't fulfilled and isn't done and isn't completed and it isn't accomplished? See, this is why, brothers and sisters, we got to find the mind of God and the mind of revelation and the mind of the Spirit on whatever it is. You could look at me and apply it to my life and say, well, Brother Rob, do this. And I hope that I could stand the test under your critique, criticism, or whatever it may be. And that's okay. I'm accustomed to that. But I'm talking about you applying it to your own life, about fulfilling what you feel God asked you to do. I'm going to tell you how Brother Rob is. If a man tells me that the Lord spoke to him and tells him to fast a week, and I see him eating in 3 days, that man lost all strength with me. Because that's taking a vow with God and failing it. I'm just telling, that's the way Brother Rob thinks. If I say that the Lord has spoke to me to do something, I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill it. And that's why I don't war with things that sometimes people war with. If I speak to you and say that God told me to fast a week, I put that food out of my thoughts. I don't war about it. I don't sit and think how good a burger would taste. I don't go buy Burger King when I can smell that smoke in the air and say, oh man, I just shut that off. Otherwise, I'd go out of my thoughts. And it would be a greater travail. You got to learn to shut that thing off. When you make up your mind to do something that's under the Lord, that's what you need to do, is get established in your thoughts and in your mind. And you need to hang up all other thoughts and everything else and shut it off. You're better off not to make a vow with God as not keep it. And there needs to be determination in our hearts, brothers and sisters. And if God speaks you today to do something, then why would he change his mind tomorrow? My God's not given to change. So it's evident that you're not listening to the same God that I'm listening to. Because I've never had God ask me to do something. And the thing is that where the problem is me discerning his voice. Now, I'll stand right here before you today and tell you that there's things that I consider and ponder and think on. Because some of these things are very finite. It takes a two-edged sword sharp enough to divide the soul and the spirit. And that is very close, brothers and sisters. And it's not an easy thing to do. The bone from the marrow and the intents of the heart. From the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Your thoughts might be right in what you're wanting to do. And then maybe I don't get on board with you and you think, well, you know, man, this seems right. Well, I'm not saying it isn't right. And when we think about it and look at it, it's right. But what is the intent of it? I have ministers come through here all the time to deal with them here and all this thing. And their thoughts perceived to be right. And what they're thinking of doing is right. But what's the intent of the heart? That's what the Lord said that he knows, the shepherd knows, is the intent of it. What is the intent? It looks good, but maybe the intent of it's wrong. And that's what we got to find the mind of God on. So am I talking about pastors and people starting churches and shepherds and this and that? No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking to you that you can follow the voice and the mind of God. And when you're outside the presence of the sacred desk or out there in your workplace, there's still God speaking. If we're to be continually in prayer, do you think prayer life is just a one-way thing? Do you think that prayer life, you've got a little microphone that you're talking to God with no earpiece to hear? We need to hear the voice of God. And when we're in prayer, we not just need to be in prayer, we need to be listening also. And then we need to discern the listening. that we're hearing from. When you have converted your mind into religion and your mind starts speaking, and you've converted your mind to a religious mind, then all of a sudden it's your ideas. And this is why I speak about ideology. You've got the idea, well, this is the way God is, so this is what I'm supposed to do. And many times your ideas are so wrong. Well, God is love, and He wants me to put my arms around this guy and bring him in. Why do you want to bring this guy to church? Man, we done put him out. If I have dogs in my house and I got them all bathed and clean and I keep the thing clean and you got some old flea, vit, and varmint rolling around in the mire or whatever out in the backyard and he's full of fleas and got ticks, I don't want you bringing him to my house and dropping him in my living room floor and say, hey, watch my dog for a while. Does that make sense to you? If God is not drawing a man into the things of God or into the kingdom of God, there's no need to bring him to church. And the way that you brought him to church was by offering him something, usually some sort of benevolence, some sort of job, some sort of something. Is that wrong? Not necessarily wrong, but if you're led by the Spirit, yes, you might lead him by the loaves and the fishes, but when they get there, they'll hear the voice of God. You see, I'm bringing up things that would sound controversial. Am I telling you not to bring people to church? No, it's not at all what I'm saying. I encourage y'all, if we don't normally have a church on Sunday night, if y'all are going to tell me right now, say, look, I'm going to go out and bring somebody into church tonight with me, Brother Rob. I say, I'll have a service, man. You go get them. I don't care what kind of people they are. Well, it don't sound like what you just said. That's why I'm speaking like this, for you can learn to be led by the Spirit of God. You see, if you perceive and you're witnessing to people out there and talking to people and fellowship people, you perceive there's a drawing in their heart and a hunger for the things of God, you know, encourage them. Encourage them. But you know, brothers and sisters, you need to discern where they're at and what they are of and what their motives are. What's the intent of the heart? And I know you can't do that. Bring them to church. The pastor will do that, but don't be offended. So let me read on just a little bit more. Verse 19, it says, there was division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil, and he is mad. Why hear ye him? What voice was that speaking to them people to tell them that? Is this the voice of God speaking to them like that? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blaspheming. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a scripture that we could take and apply in our own life. We've come to this message of the revelation of who we are in Christ. Now we are the sons of God. But don't believe me if you don't see the works of Christ in my life. The works of the Father, the works of the heavenly, the works of the invisible. If you don't see that in my life, don't believe that. Even though what I say is a truth for a people of this generation and time. But this is what Jesus said. Could you say that? When you go with a doctrine to your friends and to people out here and say, man, bless God, I'm born again, child of God. I come to a revelation and understanding and now I'm a son of God. I've come to a revelation. I've passed from death unto life. I believe that I have all authority and power over sin and conquered it. And I've got sin under my feet, treading on the scorpions and the serpents. Could you tell them that and say, you know, don't believe what I say unless you see it in me. Some of us are real good about speaking the right thing, but how about that? Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away beyond the Jordan into a place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Do you see the responsibility of you as a child of God, as a Christian, how the responsibility would rest on you today? See, John the Baptist came and speaking about him, but he came and manifested the things that he was speaking about and said that they are true because they saw that in him. Do you realize that the responsibility rests upon you, that this God that we preach and teach and this Jesus that we spoke about that came literally on this earth and walked among men and was crucified and resurrected, do you realize that the responsibility rests upon you to win the souls of this generation? Because they've got to see this invisible God dwelling in you, or they will never know him, comprehend him, nor understand him. This is why the Bible says that they have blind leaders, and the blind is leading the blind. Because they're all saying the same thing, and they're all blind, and they're all leading them into one thing. The Bible said, speaking a word of exhortation or chastening to Israel, he said, you've committed adultery under every green tree. Played the role of the harlot. And the thing is that's the religious institution of America in this day and hour. They've played the role of the harlot. And the thing is that's the deep ditch. And the thing is that they're all blind leaders and they're all leading them right into the same thing. And that's the deep ditch. They have to come out of the religious order of America. They got to come out and be separate. The Catholic Church, brothers and sisters, was the move of God. Catholic means a universal church. I'm part of the Catholic Church, brothers and sisters, but not the Catholic order of denomination that people go to today. You understand that? I'm a Baptist because I baptize. We do have methods as commanded in the Word of God, methods of worship, methods of order of conduct in this church. That makes me a Methodist. John Wesley came in with a message of sanctification, but the Methodist people have turned away from it. They're not walking in the order and in the mind of God in this day and hour. Brothers and sisters, the thing is that when you hear me speaking, I still feel your spirit when I speak against the religion of America. You know, and it's like, man, Brother Rob, you can't do that. You know, man, you just think you're better than them. Or, you know, you just this and that. You just don't understand how God's out there. Brothers and sisters, I know the voice of God. And I know that I cannot follow the voice of a stranger. And America is religious vomit on the tables of God. As I said the other night, don't put your trust in America. Don't put your trust in politics. Don't put your trust in some great president. Don't put your trust in anything to do with this land. Put your trust solely in him. Let him be your king only. He is a jealous God. When you put anything before him, he is jealous. Let him be the king of all in your life. It doesn't mean you disrespect that you would just go around and spit on the American flag. I don't say that. I think you should respect the things. We have friends and fathers and things that shed blood for that because it made a stand at one point of time, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to spit on the cross because the people of America made a shame of the cross in their religious order. I'm not going to do that to stress a point. I'm not saying that this wasn't a God-fearing, virtuous nation at one time, but there's always been a travail and a struggle there. And in every church, it's the same thing. But I'm just trying to get you to get your mind solely on him and put your thoughts toward him. And don't be deceived because there's so much false doctrine going forth right now. So many things that are proclaiming to have understanding and have what's right, and they're leading people astray. There's a bundling together right now of religious people. There is a mind of revelation, a mind of Christ, and a doctrine, brothers and sisters, that will unify us together in spirit. You may not know a man, but when you find him, you'll find that unity in that spirit, brothers and sisters. When that man has the right spirit and you start ministering by the spirit of revelation, there will be a drawing and a hunger to that. There will be something to hold him to that. And it depends on the measure the man's at. Some will war more in their mind than others do. Some will fight and kick, but they tried to go back. They can't go back. They tried to go back the other ways. They can't find peace there. They can't find tranquility there in God. And they find themselves miserable. There's people that are living that life right now. They've departed this and they can't find it any other way. Unless their mind be seared over with a hot iron, they'll go on and they'll believe a lie and they're damned. And there's people that's come to that too, that have fallen off and have been out there and their minds sealed over. Ain't nothing you could say, nothing you could do. There ain't nothing to change their, God ain't going to change them. God's done with them. People right now, while they still yet live, God is absolutely done. Cut off. Ain't nothing you could do, nothing you could say. So, it's a frightening time. I'll tell you that right now. It's a frightening and fearful time, but it's a glorious time at the same time. We need to be careful what we're eating. Some have been poisoned. Need to be careful what they eat and what they eat of. What they fellowship, who they fellowship, what the mind of it is. What is the intent of the fellowship? The fellowship sounds okay, but the intent of it is something totally different. The Bible says this, there's many sick and afflicted among you for one reason. They don't know how to discern the body of God. We need to stand together. We need to unify together. If your brother's weak, stand in and encourage him and make him strong by you being strong and standing with him, making him strong. Brothers and sisters, we got to pull in, and we better start getting exercising faith in our lives and start pulling into some things and holding on to some things, because there's a shaking. I've been telling you that for years, haven't I? There's a shaking, brothers and sisters, and we need to hold on. Some of it's internal, some of it's external. You might question what that means. There's some people being shaken from their own thoughts because God's trying to get them out of their thoughts and get them to grab onto his thoughts. So there'll be a shaking going on. There's people that have been turned over to the tormentors. There's some that it's a distant thing where it'll be they get turned over to the tormentors when they get cast into eternal damnation. There's some in torment now. There's some walking in heavenly places now. They've entered into rest and peace. You see, discern, man. Discern in the spirit of where you're at, where you're walking, and what's going on in your own lives. Because God is doing something in each and every individual in here in a different measure, in a different capacity. And one might be going through some things a little bit different than another man going through. But you see, that's where he's at with God, and that's what God's doing in his life. And you got to discern that, understand that, comprehend that, walk in it, and rejoice in it. Amen. And know that God has everything worked after his will and after his counsel. Let's stand together. Brethren, let's stand together, encouraging one another in what is right and what is good. You see your brother overtaken in a fall, take him by the hand and by the arm. Pray with him, bless him in the mind of God that he could get back up and stand strong. I like what a minister said one time. It's not how many times a man falls, it's how many times he gets back up. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we need one another. I need you. I need your help. I need your strength. You say, well, Brother Rob, we need you. Well, you need the voice of God, brothers and sisters, is what you need. And if Brother Rob, can you pray for me that I can submit to the mind of God, the spirit of revelation, that he can speak to you as a people, amen? And I make an effort. I do try. If I judge my own life and look at my own life, I'm disappointed in many cases and many times within myself. In the measure of God that I find manifesting in the exploits that I do. But I'm going to keep pressing in for more. I want to do more as unto the Lord. Help me, brothers and sisters. Help me to do something. And you have. I truly cannot stand here and say that I've done anything. Nor could I stand and say we've done anything. I could say that God's done everything. And I appreciate you giving your life to him and submitting to him and to whatever measure that you have. I appreciate that. That you have helped me and taken hand in hand with me to endeavor to do something for Christ. But let's do more. Amen. Let's do more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's tarry just for a moment longer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See if we can find the liberty to close the service. Don't be perplexed in mind and thought. Enter into that rest. God's having his way in your life in all things. Find his mind and recognize what he's doing. Sometimes we come through the things that he's doing in our lives faster and prompter when we find it. Sometimes he puts us on a course and we find ourselves weaving back and forth, and we seem to be on the road for much longer time, but when we see where that course is going, we set forth and we go straight to the point. Amen. I don't believe it was necessary for the Israelites to wander in the desert for 40 years. I know it fits in numerology. I know it fits in the numbers and all the things of God. But what I'm saying is, if they would have spotted and seen the door open there in Canaan land and who they were in God, they could have walked straight through and went right into Canaan. God made a way for them in the wilderness. He fed them, made provisions, and showed himself. God's shown himself in the infirmities that you're in. He's shown himself in the struggles. He's shown himself in every aspect of your life. Recognize what he's showing to you in your life and what's going on in your life. And recognize that, that he could be glorified in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be numbered as the ground opening up and swallowing you up in the wilderness as many of the elders were. Be recognized as the ones that God brought you provision in those things and gave you the strength and showed you the course, that you went into Canaan and you saw the giants and you weren't perplexed and you come and said, we can take the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something has happened, and now I know he touched me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that touch, Lord. We'll get Brother Randy Gilbert to dismiss us this morning. I love you all. Pray for me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and worship him, love him, praise him, thank him. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Let him minister to your hearts. Pray for your brethren.
Presence this morning, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful spirit that you put here this morning, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for the brotherhood you put me in part with, Lord, and the brethren, all the sisters, Lord. I just want to praise you and thank you for everything you've done for me in my life, Lord, and for the church family, Lord. I just want to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.